I have a question. Can I prepay my another one?
That's so unusual.
Can I prepay myself?
Can you prepay? Yes. You can.
Sure.
I have three questions. That's they're related to this idea.
Yes.
One is more rare, but I was once in an operating room and I saw Shkia was coming. So I had a daven mincha. There was no reyach and I wasn't facing anything. I was just like being in that room.
Operating room? And is there any substance that's a foul substance there?
Not that I can remember. Like I turned like face a corner, so I wasn't near anything, and I don't remember there being any reyach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good. As long as the patient isn't waiting for you to sew him up.
I assume if you're diving, you're the actual surgeon, you're up there.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, try planning it out before, of course, but.
Right. Okay. If you're diving for the omelet and someone in the area passes gas, do you have to stop?
You should. I mean, I was like try to. It shouldn't be something obvious if possible, but you should stop till the reyach passes.
So even if you're in the middle of a chazar shots? Yeah.
Yeah.
The last one was...
There's Meister Brotter should run, brings us, as you're asking, I saw this a number of years ago, but Meister in a shul, I think it was on Yom Naram, and there was a person was perhaps a little bit elderly, maybe not 100% well, and towards the front of the shul, not far from the chazan, and unfortunately it was worse than just passing gas. He was not in complete control of his bowels, and so it became obvious and obvious to the chazan. So the chazan, it's going to be a big bush. So the chazan started like a whole long song, without words. Just, it was Yom Naram. You could, so he started like singing and saying, until they had a chance to, clear up the area without, in the most discreet manner, without drawing attention to what was going on. So, I don't think during the week that's going to go over too well if you start singing the chazar. But hopefully the situation would be remedy itself in much shorter time.
And the last one was, in all the cases from last week, except where you're like completely in front of a erva, like Malcolm erva, it wasn't the ma'akev the bracha, was it?
That's not to us or pashit, whether it's ma'akev or not. In certain places where the Mishnah Berurah says that even things that are asur mitarabanan, it is ma'akev if you say the bracha in a situation that you weren't allowed to, even mitarabanan. Now, as we mentioned last week, that the idea of tefach bi'isha, which is supposed to be covered and it's not, that's a question in the poskim if that's the rice or the rabbanon. Many say it's the rabbanon. We'll probably touch on that. See the Chazon Ish tonight. Hopefully, he assumes it's the rabbanon. I think we mentioned last week. But even if it's the rabbanon, it's not pasha that it's not ma'akev. So, but where it is ma'akev, they talk about kriyashma and tefillah. It seems by other brachos, it's still not as pasha. So, b'di'evet, it would be a shaila. I don't think a person should rush if it's a question of a bracha, not Kriya Shema, then I think a person shouldn't rush to say it over. Probably at the end of the day, you wouldn't say it over if it was a bracha. But what I'm trying to bring out is it's not pasha that it's not ma'akev, and certainly if it's Kriya Shema, something like that it's much more likely to say that it is ma'akev. It's really like draws out somewhat the chomer of the severity of these halachas, that besides being an isser, and which it's a real isser to do it, but it could be that you're mamash not yotzi and you have to even say it over again.
I have a vague recollection of seeing a Moshe that said if it's in front of a woman, hair of the hair, that's not ma'akev the bracha, and if you did it, obviously you shouldn't do that.
Right, so we're going to discuss that tonight here, and that's come up. It's a shame.
Last thing, is it a tefach all over, or just...
Okay, so that's what I was going to start with tonight. Okay, so you segue into... I want to go back to that one point, and we'll start with that one point. That was the question, is it if a part of a tefach here, a part of a tefach there? So, to be honest, I didn't see it mufurish. I can't say I looked super extensively, but I didn't see it addressed directly. I did say they bring down from the poskim that it means tefach by tefach, like a square tefach, but does that mean, does it have to be in one spot or not? My feeling from everything is that it doesn't have to be in one spot. If there's a tefach magula, tefach uncovered there from areas that are obligated to be covered, then that would be that would that would be enough to make it usur, even if it's combined from different places. But I also wanted to mention that context that although we've only mentioned the idea of a tefach, the truth is the Ramah, the very first Ramah in the Siman Ayin Hey, which is these halachas, brings down, he says, Yesh Omrim, that there's an opinion that the shear of a tefach was only said by one's wife, meaning only by one's wife is it that you have up to a tefach. But by other women, even if it's less than a tefach, it's considered an erva, even less than a tefach of an area that's supposed to be covered. And only if it's one's wife is there a leniency up to a tefach. So there are some achronim that say, the Chazon Ish bring down and says that this is absolutely the halacha, that even though the Ramah says Yesh Omrim, nobody disagrees with this, that's definitely the halacha. Ramosh and Teshuva works with this concept. Other achronim say that no, that we don't, halacha, we don't pass, the Bach notably, and others say we don't pass them like that, that it's there's no difference, one's wife, not one's wife. But we do see that it's there's a strong tzad that by any woman other than one's own wife, even less than a tefach is a problem. So in reality, I don't think one should take a chance on any of this. And you're not really like measuring, if you're not supposed to be mistakel, certainly. So you're saying, obviously, that's an elamayu, as they say, eyeball it. Well, it's not such a smart thing to do, especially if it's true that I'm saying that you would have to add, the little bit from the left arm and the little bit from the right arm, and maybe if the neckline's a little bit low. So it's not so practical to start, even if we'd be makel on a tefach, it's not so practical to start making those cheshbonos. And as we said, according to this opinion, even if it's less than a tefach. So in reality, once the woman is not dressed properly, it would be prudent to exercise the precautions that we mentioned last week, of whether it's closing your eyes. Well, that even that's the last resort. We said it's best to be, not be facing the person altogether, but if you couldn't do that, at least to close your eyes or to block your vision is even better than closing your eyes, blocking it with a safer or something else. Or even if you couldn't block it, at the very least, and you couldn't close your eyes because you have to look in a sitter for what you're saying, you're looking in a safer, at very least not to make sure not to be, that you shouldn't see the person, or you shouldn't, even out of the corner of your eye, you shouldn't see them, you should just be focused now on the words in the safer, and then if you have no choice, then that would be okay. Okay, now that's all by the din of Tefach Mugula. One more, which I should mention, though, that since we said already this possible chiluk between one's wife and others, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that if it's a question of the shok, which according to the Mishnah Berurah seems to translate that means the thigh from the knee and above, then he brings that an opinion from the Echronim that even in one's own wife it would be usur, even less than a tefach. Okay.
Isn't there such a concept of if something becomes normally covered and then it also becomes erva? It's like people started wearing socks and looking at the feet would be an erva.
There is such a concept, yes. Gets a little bit much more.
So we're working on the opposite also, like.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about by here. If it works in the opposite, if in that direction it could work, but then it gets very much more difficult to define. To apply it in reality, like who do you go by? Like, let's say you live in a community where people are, or many people are makbid on that, but there could be many other people in the broader area, even amongst observant people, who are not makbid on that. So, and people that you may interact with, and maybe parents have a daughter in a school, or maybe the husband teaches in a school where there are yesh v'yesh. There are older girls that are, if the school dress code doesn't necessarily require it, so there may be some of the older girls who are covered, many of them that are covered that way because that's their family or their parents are makbid that they do that, and others come from families where they're not so makbid. So exactly how you define it becomes a little bit more gray. So we're stuck more to that, which is more black and white. But when it comes now to the topic of Sarah, we said we want to try to best time to discuss here and coal. Hopefully we'll get to both, or we'll at least see if we can begin. So when it comes to Seir, so the first of all, there is a requirement which we could say is midaraisa, for a married woman to cover her hair. And but the idea that the hair is an erva, that the hair is also considered an area which one cannot say brachos or daven in front of, that is understood by the poskim to be midrabanan. And it's also only by married women who are obligated to cover the hair. So there the din is that their hair, if it's not covered, is an erva. And on that, the Mishnah Berurah says that it's not relevant whether the women are complying with the requirement of covering the hair. He says, "Vedad." This is the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Yud, and Siman Ayin Hay Sifkat and Yud. Vedad. Oh, daot. Da'afilu im derech isha zo v'chavroseha bo samakim. Even if this particular woman who happens to be in front of you now, v'chavroseha bo samakim, and the people are that in her neighborhood, in her area as well, it's their derech, it's their practice. Leilech begilu harosh bashuk. They walk around outside with their hair uncovered. Kederech haprutzos, just like women who are not careful about what they're supposed to be careful. Usur, it's still usur to say kriyashma in front of it. Excuse me. Ukamo le'inin gili shoka. Just like if her shok, if the thigh would be uncovered, da usur b'chol gavni, ukanal b'sivkat and beis. Kivin shit srichos l'chasos ha'saris mitzad ha'din. Since they are obligated to cover the hair mitzad ha'din, and here the Mishnah says, v'yesh b'zeh isur taira, to go uncovered is in his sermon atar midichsiv. It's learned from a pasuk by the Isha Sota, where it says upara rosha Isha. The Kohen uncovers her hair in the process of getting her to try to admit to that she was, you know, guilty of the crime that she suspected of, and not have to go through the whole procedure with the Mei Sota. So miklal chazalda miklal shahaya mechusa. Apparently, it was she should uncover her hair. Obviously, till then, it had to be mechusa because that is the requirement of a married woman. The hair should be covered. So, says the Mishnah Berurah, therefore, it's considered an erva. It continues, v'gam kol benos Yisrael machzikos b'das motion is haris mizeh mimos avosenim me'olam me'anata. Was always the minhag to be makbid on this. Bechlal erva hiv asa l'kros kenegda. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah says that it's not relevant whether the women are in your area are complying with the halacha. Even if they're not, it doesn't change the status that the hair is an erva. And when it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Seir shel isha, the hair of a woman, shidarka lechasoso, which is the derech to cover, that's usher to say Kriya Shema in front of, says the Mishnah Berurah, he just means to say, to as opposed to, lemait rak besulos, it just means as opposed to that the hair of single girls. Girls who were never married, shemutaros lelech barosh parua, they're allowed to go barosh parua. So, or other hair, if there's other hair that's not mechuyev, that the halacha doesn't obligate it to be covered, that's where the din is that would not be considered an erva. But here, that it's the chiyuv is to cover regardless of whether or not one is or the women are complying with that halacha, the hair is still considered an erva. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Chazon Ish in Aruch Chaim Siman Tes Zayin says the same thing, and at the end he cites the Mishnah Berurah, but he says the same thing. And it's interesting, this is a very interesting paragraph. This is in Siman Tes Zayin Sifka and Ches, where the Chazon Ish addresses like what is exactly the concept that the hair is an erva but only a married woman's hair and not a singles woman. He says v'seir demutter bepnuya, that which the hair is mutter on a single girl, you're allowed to say Divrei Torah in front of her hair, va'aser benesua lechara, you know, in first glance lo haya roy lesar ela beisha shehu makira. Lechara should only be aser if you know this woman is, you know this woman, you know she's married. V'roa osa tamid b'seir mechusa, you always see that her hair is covered, and now it's uncovered. V'chi magala hashta, now that it's uncovered, chashiv erva, because that's the type of thing that could incite her hurim, a person, something that's normally covered and supposed to be covered, and you know it's supposed to be covered, and all of a sudden you see it uncovered, exposed here, that perhaps can cause her hurim, and there we could understand that would be nichlal, and like the din tefach beisha erva, that because it's gorim hirur, which is what the Chazon Ish himself explained earlier. Aval roa isha sheino makira, let's say you say a woman that you don't know who she is. And you don't know if she's married, not married. Varosha Perua, and then you never see her hair covered. You never see it. Loa Difa Mipnuya, even if you know she's married. You know she's married. But you never see her hair covered. So it doesn't mean anything to you that her hair is uncovered, because it doesn't cause you any more, it shouldn't cause logically any more hair than the hair of a single girl. Lo adif mi pnuya. So that should be, that's what we would think, the Chazim we would think at first glance. No pun intended. He says, avalo mashmakein bepaiskim. The mashmos of the poskim is not that way. Elohachi kovu chachamim. Rather, this is how the chachamim instituted. The seir nesua, the hair of a married woman, kiven dechayeves lichasos, since she's obligated to cover it, asua k'erva l'kuliyama. They made an erva vis-a-vis any man, even the man who never sees it covered. Okay, then he says v'nire, and now taking the next step, dafilu prusa sheyotzis tamed b'rosh perua, even a woman who's not living up to her responsibility, her obligation, and she goes around b'rosh perua with uncovered hair, usur, it's still usur to say Kriya Shema in front of her hair, or brachos, d'lo hikilu chachamim b'pritzus. Now he says like this, v'hare gam poneha v'yodeha, Even a woman's face or hands, yesh b'hen iser b'staklus, it's also to be mistakel. A man is not allowed to gaze at a woman's, at a woman, whether even if it's a place, parts of the body that are always uncovered and that are allowed to be uncovered. So she says her face, her hands. There's no chiyah for a woman to cover them, but it's still usher for a man to be mistakel. V'yesh makom leso likros kriya shema af neged panela. So really, Chazal could have gone the other way. They could have said even that's usher. You can't say Kriya Shema in front of a woman. A woman is not completely covered from, you know, head to toe or the other side of the mechitza. But if there's a woman there, a woman, a girl, whatever it is, and there are parts of her body that are exposed, even parts that are allowed to be exposed, she's even allowed to go into the street that way. But still, Chazal could have said that you can't say Kriya Shema, and that would have been not much of a jump from saying that you can't say in front of the hair of a woman who you never met in your life, and just as she happens to be married. In fact, maybe you met her a week ago when she was a kala, and then it was perfectly mutter, and then you're not sure exactly when the chasna is. Now you meet her again. She says, oh, shalach, when's your chasna? Oh, it was 2 nights ago. Oh, and you see, you know, hopefully she's wearing a sheitlin, you just can't tell. But but then you realize, no, her hair is not covered. So now it's usher. Well, I mean, you never saw her as a married woman before. You've seen her many times. Yesterday was mutter, today it's usher. That's the way Chazal, they made a geder that hair of a nesu is usher.
That's not the reason?
It's not the raisa. No, it's not the raisa. It doesn't have a din erva the raisa. It's the chiyuv to cover it is the raisa, but it's not the raisa that it becomes an erva and that you they should say kriyish man from. It's not the raisa. At least according to the Chazanish and many.
So there's two things. So there's a chiyuv to cover the hair, but it's not.
It's not an erva because. But Chazal made because of that. That was the geder Chazal used. That once any hair that's chayv to be covered, they said memela has a din erva. Whether or not. You know, like I said, whether or not you're used to seeing it covered, uncovered, makes no difference. And then it just completely, so he says, they could have said it in by her panevi adel. He said, however, el shakol gezeros chachamim bepeles shaklua. Chazal, whenever they make zeros, they weighed it in a scale. How much to be gozer? You know, what type of zer is needed, what they felt was needed to be protect the Torah, because that's the job of Chazal, to make a mishmeres, a mishmeres, to make gedarim and gezeres, but not to make it unlivable, not to go overboard. It says, v'e'ef shalahachbid ala tzibor. They can't make it too difficult for people. U'lekach hikilu b'paneha. They were make it by a woman's face or hands, any woman, even in Suah, ubiseir panuya, and they were makel by the hair of a single girl who's not obligated to cover her hair, so it's like her face and her hands. She's doing nothing wrong by walking outside with her hair, you know, uncovered. And therefore, the Chazal left that as mutter to say Kriya Shema in front of it. Mikol makom bin Suah, however, by a married woman, shechayevis bikisu lo hikil. This rule that, you know, kol zeres chazal pepelas hikilu is a very important concept, important hashkafa, that to realize that chazal they weighed things very carefully, and it was part of the, as I said, part of the mission of chazal, and part of their with the Torah entrusted them with, is to make necessary gezeres. They made gezeres in Shabbos. They made gezeres in food that you're not allowed to eat, especially machalei akum, and for very many reasons. But at the same time, they didn't just, you know, aser everything that, oh, let's not take any chances, aser. They didn't do that at all. So some people you know, view it that way. You know, how difficult it everything is, some this lesser, that's lesser. But Chazal were tried very much not to make it overbearing, but to leave the Torah livable, but to protect the Torah at the same time, that it doesn't to make it observable. And I just give one example when it comes to an Erev meaning, I'm not talking about the construction of what we call the Erev, construction of the fences or the, you know, the poles with the strings. I'm talking about the concept that in order to be able to carry in an area where if you have shared residential area with other people, so you have to make an Erev Chatzeres, besides the fact that it has to be fenced in. But if there's more than one family there, or like a whole city, or just even two families living, sharing a yard, they have to have an Erev Chatzeres, means they have to own bread together, right? That's a simple case. You have a two-family building, and there's a backyard. Each family has their own apartment. That means that in their own dining room table, they eat separately, like normal families. But they share the backyard. And it's fenced in, completely fenced in. You can't carry in that backyard unless the two families make an Erev. Assuming in the city there's no Erev, you live in a city, there's no Erev. So if those families want to carry things, you know, between the house and the backyard, etc., they have to make an Erev Chatzeres, which means they have to own bread together. They have to own, so let's say, the way it's typically done is one family will buy some matzah and give it to the other family to be zocha on a chelik in it, and then you say the nusach, you make a bracha if it's if everything is in check, if it's chayiv mamash, and you say the nusach that with this erev it should be mutter for us to carry from place to place, you know, etc., etc. So that's if it's two Jewish families. What happens if there's or two or more Jewish families? You could have a whole apartment building with a courtyard, a back courtyard, and you have 20 families. So if they're all Jewish, they all have to be part of the erev. They all have to be mishtat erev. Let's say there's a non-Jew. So a non-Jew, Chazal made a takana that they can't be part of an Erev, but you can't just carry either. If they also live there and they also share that same rishus, they share that courtyard with you, so you can't carry unless you remedy it. How do you remedy it? You have to be socher from there. You have to rent from that non-Jew and non-Jewish family the rights, their rights to the backyard. Now, that doesn't mean renting their rights that now they can't use it. They can still use it, but it's a halachic process of schiris rishos that you're renting from them their schusim. Now, where does that come from? So the Gemara explains in the beginning of the sixth paragraph of Erevin that really Chazal felt it's much better for Yidden to live with Yidden in order to interact with Yidden, socialize with Yidden. Like we know, that's why there are so many Isurim on various things, Pasakum and Bishalakum and Yainakum and Sheminakum and Gvinasakum and Cholavakum. Well, not only Cholavakum, there's other reasons also. But most of the Xeris, or many of the Xeris against Macholayakum is to avoid socializing, because socializing Chas V'Shalom can lead to intermarriage and Avodah Zarah. So they're going to be forced in Avodah Zarah. In Masechet Avodah Zarah. So here too, Chazal wanted that Yidden should live with Yidden in order not to learn from the practices of other people of other faiths, which could lead them astray from their faith, from the Jewish faith. So therefore, they to encourage people not to live in mixed areas. They said that if you do, you can't even make an Erev. Can't even make an Erev. Now, nobody wants to live in a place they can't make an Erev, because especially in the old days when it was they used their courtyard a lot more for, as part of the houses weren't that big, and they went and certainly weren't air conditioned. So if they lived in during the summer, they would certainly want to be able to go outside more and have more fresh air and v'chulu v'chulu. And people used the outside more, so it was very necessary to be able to carry from inside to outside. And if you couldn't do it, you're not going to want to live there. So if you live amongst other Jews, so you make an Erev. But if you live, now you live amongst Einam Yehudim, you can't make an Erev. So that's going to encourage you not to live there. But at the same time, they said, well, but what happens to a guy who's stuck? He's stuck living there. He can't find another place, or he lives out of town, and whatever it is, or they didn't want to make it impossible. So they said, okay, they came up with this thing called Schiris Rishos, and the Gemara says Mefurish, figuring that most of the time it's not going to work. Because the guy is going to suspect that there's something fishy here. This guy must have something spooky going on at Kishuv. This must be some sort of spell. He's going to rent by renting this thing from me. He's casting a spell on me, and I'm going to freeze. And as soon as I when Shabbos comes, I'm not going to be able to move. Whatever. The guy is going to be afraid of Kishuv, and they're not going to want to do it. and mainly you're gonna basically be forced, or you're gonna try very hard to move out and live somewhere else. But at the same time, if you can't, you'll sit down with him and explain to him and convince him and tell him, you know, whatever. However, you'll work on it to get him. You'll pay him off, whatever you do. You'll get him to agree. So they made a method that you could do it, but they made it hard. It's exactly like Mara says. They specifically made it hard, but possible. So that's the type of idea that, like I said, the palace, they made the Gzeira to protect that shouldn't come to carry in the wrong place, and at the same time, try not to live amongst any of them, but at the same time, make it possible. Now, by the way, so the way that it's done now, you say, I mean, now that, you know, any neighborhood we live in that has an area of quote-unquote area, so we know, again, has the big part of it or that we know about is that you have to have the proper structure around, you know, with the poles and the strings, you know, Lechi and Sirus Pesach around the neighborhood. Everybody knows that, and that's what they're checking every Friday, and that's what you're listening to your, you're checking your email to find out, especially if there's a storm, is the air up, the air down? Well, that's not really the air, right? Those are the fences, those are the walls. The Erev is the bread. The bread is up, I can guarantee you, the bread is not affected by a storm. It's in the rabbi's house, and unless, well, you know, hopefully nothing's happening to the bread. But the bread is a box of matzahs, it's from Pesach to Pesach. It doesn't get stale, it doesn't, you know, that's why we use matzah, so you don't have to redo it every Friday. It has to be edible, and so the bread is fine. But so that bread, so everybody, by the way, everyone owns a chalik in that bread. In case you ever run out of matzah or Shabbos, you have a right to go and ask for it, and you have to be given access to it, otherwise the whole thing is no good. And in fact, if the rabbi goes away for Shabbos, somebody has to have access to his house that they can get in. He can't just lock it up and, you know, et cetera. So, but then there's one more step. That's very good for all the Jews. But what about, there are plenty of non-Jews living within this, what we call Erev, plenty. So, you know, how does that work? So they don't go and knock on every single door. But they, so there's, the Gemara talks about the idea of Schiro Lakito, where you could rent it from somebody who has authority. Authority. Now, ideally, somebody who has authority to enter anybody's house without permission. You know, that's ideally. I know I think that's harder and harder now to find such a person, so they rely on different government officials or police lieutenants or whatever else as that's considered the representative of all the people, and they actually do a rental from that person. I mean, it could be a dollar or whatever it is, but they do a rental from that person that he gives them, like, rent out the schusim to all the areas owned by non-Jews. All right, anyway, this is all Erevin's Shprach, but it's interesting, and it's just this Chazanish, like, really reminded me of it. So getting back here, so the Chazanish is also learning like the Mishnah Berurah, and as he concludes, he says, V'chenkas Mishnah Berurah, it's not going to make a difference whether the women are complying with the halacha or not, just like it doesn't make a difference whether you know about it or not, whether you know she's married or you know, et cetera, or whether you've seen it before. The point is, Chazal made it be'etzem into an erva.
What about when she's divorced?
So when she's divorced, it's mefurish as well that it has to be covered. It's in everything. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezer, Simon Chaf Aleph Sif Beis, I believe, it says over there that that women should not go out on the street with their hair uncovered, whether they're married or single. And the Farshim say over there, single? So it says, so they say that means women that were once married. Well, there's a shadow between the Chalkas Mechalkeg and the Beis Shmuel, who are the two main no sekelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Ebn Ezer, just like you have the Shach and the Taz in Yerodeya, and you have the Magen Avraham and the Magen Avraham and Taz in Archaim. So one says divorced or widowed, and one says beula, a woman who, even if she's never married, but she's no longer a basula, she was together with a man, that her hair is to be covered. So that's mefurish, that certainly a woman that was once married, and obviously is not a basula anymore, her hair has to be covered as well.
You hold it, like that now, a basula?
So, okay, so the Mishnah Berurah says that, there's a line about the Mishnah Berurah that he says, the end of Sifkot and Yud Aleph. He says, V'hu adin besulos shenivalu, besulos who are with a man, shrichin l'chasus harosh. They have to cover the hair. Then he says, "Umikal makom im zinsa." The girl was engaged in improper behavior, meaning not, you know, whatever. Let's leave it there. If it ain't a rotsa, let's say spitzaf al rosha kederach hanashim, and she doesn't want to go around with a tichel or a snood or whatever, ain't yicholim lekufa. We can't force her to do so. We can't force. That's what it said. So. But some understand this to mean we can't force her, meaning mitzad the halacha of covering her hair. You know, we don't have, based in can't, you know, call her in and give her a warning and say, you can't, that we can't do. But it doesn't change the fact that her hair is the status of an erva. which means if you know that there's somebody like that at your Shabbos table, or wherever you happen to be, then you still should treat it like you would if she's a married woman or a divorced woman.
The only issue is probably with a Jewish man. If she was with a non-Jewish man, probably wouldn't have to be covered.
No, because it's besula. Besula, she's still not a besula. If she's not, the Mishnah was going the besula shenivalu.
What does that mean?
A besula who had relations with a man. She's not a virgin. She's not a. She's not a besula. Means a virgin. She's not a virgin.
So rape also would be the same thing.
Yes.
So anyone who has relations
Has to cover their minadin. Well, now if somebody ever asks you the shaila, somebody at work or whatever, and you want to, I'm not saying, I just heard a shir, there's what to discuss. There are tshuvas in the Ibris Moshe and other places.
Like a Baal's tshuva, let's say, who raised with nothing, had a boyfriend, whatever.
She's
coming from.
Okay.
So she should cut her hair.
She should ask a competent rabbinic authority, obviously.
Even divorcees, I know they get heteros from different rabbis. It'd be harder to get married again.
Okay, so,
is there anything to that or not really?
There is some basis to it. There are tshuvas about it where it's discussed whether there's mukum to be makel. There are tshuvas in Gizmosh. There are tshuvas about it. Let's just leave it there. There are tshuvas about it where there is a pesach of heter for certain situations, depending on, the circumstance. But yes, there are situations where even, reliable rabbanim and even gedolim were matir, but it's not a blanket. It's definitely not for a woman that was actually married, it's certainly not a blanket heter. The pashtus is, the simple answer is yes, it has to be covered. There may be some exceptions. Coming to the other cases, like you mentioned, with a woman who was never married, but she lived a freer lifestyle, and now she's turned over a leaf, or she's wherever, she's niskariv, that's a different shayla. She's definitely asked a shayla before doing anything, unusual.
We assume people have a chesed kasher, so we don't assume the work, right? So we don't have to assume if we see a random girl that anything happened.
Unfortunately, I would say a random girl who is shomer Torah mitzvahs, right? That's correct. A random girl who is not, or who wasn't until she was at an older age, meaning an older teenager. I think the post can say.
Even if you went to like a wedding, there's like the girls at the other side and you're making a bracha on a drink or something, you don't know like the people there, you don't know how religious they
are. Right, so you should be very focused on your drink. it's true. There could be married women there whose hair isn't covered also, obviously. So let me just mention something while here. I know this is all recorded, so but just mention another halacha, just me in it, because I know this is, it's not the exact topic, but I think it's worth a momentary detour, as it relates to what was just asked, and it's just good to know this in advance. The halacha is legabe sheva brachos, that if a couple gets married and they're getting married for the first time, so they have a week of sheva brachos, right? Besides under the chuppah, of course, the sheva brachos at the wedding meal, the sheva brachos, and then for the next week, through the 7 days, including the day of the wedding. They get married, 5 minutes before nightfall, that's already one day out. But 7 days, including the day of the wedding, sheva brachos. That means any meal that's made, l'kavod chasan kala, if there's a minyan there, sheva brachos. And, nowadays we try to do that. We try to plan for such meals to be able to, okay. Let's say it's not a first time, marriage. So the halacha is, if for either one of them it is, still sheva brachos, right? Meaning, say, if they were both married already, an almond, any combination, a widow marrying a widower, or divorcee marrying a divorced, divorced man, divorced woman, or a combination of either one, on either side, for sure no sheva brachos, which means under the chuppah, yes, at the wedding meal, yes, but that's it. I'm not sure if it's still, there used to be a misconception that 3 days, isn't it 3 days? There are 3 days of simcha, which means for the 3 days, the wedding day and two more days, there's a mitzvah of simcha. He's supposed to be mesameach, the husband's mesameach, his wife, and there'll be no tachanun. Everyone knows there's a chasen shul, and shevarach, no tachanun. So even if he's getting married for the second time, there's no tachanun for 3 days. That's it. What? For 3 days, not seven, but for three. It's a din simcha. But that's simcha, not bracha. There's no din of sheva bracha. There's no din of shalosh brachas. There's no din of bracha, just under the chuppah and at the wedding meal. But after that, there isn't. Okay. But that's if they were both married before. But if one wasn't married before, if the man was never married, he's married for his son, even though he's marrying a woman who is divorced or widowed, Sheva Brachas. Or if the man was married, he's divorced or widowed, but he's marrying a Besula, he's marrying a girl who was never married before, Sheva Brachas, full week. But this is where the tricky part comes in. And if he's marrying a Besula, if he's marrying a girl who was never married before, but she's not a Basula. She was, you know, the same Kessler just said. Perhaps she grew up with different set of values, and she's not a virgin. And now she's 100% from, and, you know, can't even think about her previous lifestyle, but it's fact. Then if unless the husband was never married, there's no Sheva Brachas. If he was married already, he was married, and she's not a Basula, even though she was never married, there's no Sheva Brachas. And they're, again, of course, under the chuppah, yes, and at the wedding meal, yes. I'm talking about after that.
And if the husband also went with a woman?
No, as long as he was never married, it doesn't make it. There's no concept by a man, you know, whatever, okay. Basula, not Basula. As long as he was never married. Question you might ask, well, let's say he was, quote unquote, married to a non-Jew, you know, things like, you know, ask a shala. But as long as he was never married, or he was never in a, let's just, he was never in a marital type relationship. He never lived under the same roof with a woman. Even though he may have done things that he shouldn't have, as many things as she has, or whatever, but he was never married or never in a marital, circumstance or relationship, then there is Sheva Brachas. But if he was married and she, even if he was never married, it's not a Basula, there's no Sheva Brachas, and it becomes a problem sometimes because people don't always realize this. And first of all, even if they do realize it, let's say a man is talking, you know, a man who's once married is marrying a girl, fine, from great girl, never married before, she's whatever, mid-20s or whatever, but she's not a Basula, and nobody's advertising that. So even if they realize this halacha, they have to, it's still tricky, you have to work it out in a way that it's not going to cause busha, right, working out in advance and realize, like, maybe you get married and then go on a nice honeymoon away for a week or something. We don't normally encourage honeymoons, but maybe this is a place where we'd encourage it. But what's worse is when they don't realize this and they get engaged, great, and then this one says, oh, great, I'll make you Sheva Brachas, and they start planning and this and that, and it's a big simcha. She's 28 years old, and marrying a great guy, unfortunately, he lost his wife, whatever. But what a simcha, he's getting remarried, Baruch Hashem, and she's getting married, and then they start, and everyone's making sure, there's no Sheva Brachas. So if they, and they plan him, and then they start talking about things, and then they find this out, then it's really could be very sticky and embarrassing. So that's why I figured while we're on this topic already about chedushim in this area, can't hurt to mention it.
And if a couple is not so religious, and let's say they were living together, and then they get married, do they have the right of a Sheva Brachas?
That's a very good question. That's a machlokas achron, if she's not a Basula, but only because of him. I mean, yes. She was never with any other guy except for the guy who she's married now. That is a machlokas achron. And of early Achronim, early. I believe in the Behuda. I think it could be a Machlokes Nadhudah some sefer.
Is this like they considered like they were married originally when they first did that, and they just never had the Sheva Brachas, so you have it now, or something like that?
Oh, no, but it's too late. It's now 7 days. Right, no, it wouldn't work that way. The tzad that it's okay is that we're talking about though that yeah, he was married, right? If he wasn't married, then it's still okay.
He wasn't married, but he was living with his
Okay, then they have this, right? Yeah, then they have this challah. But the tzad that it's okay is because if it's ulas atzmo, there was never, it could be this what's called chibas nesuin. There's no chibas bia, but it's chibas nesuin. Then it gets right, a challah should be asked.
Well, he was never married, what would be the issue?
Well, if he's never technically married, but they lived together for 2 years or whatever, as you know, as steady partners. And I'm just saying a shaila should be asked in that case. But the case I just wanted to bring out, again, it's not wasn't meant to be a shir and all these outs of this, but the real case I wanted to bring out is that just to be people aware in advance and to know how to plan and know what to expect, that that if the man was married before and the girl is not a basula, even though she was never married before, then there's not Sheva Brachas, and it's just something that should be. And not Sheva Brachas means you can make them parties, and you know, stuff like that, but you can't say the brachas at the end. You can say bar pir gafen at the end and a cup of wine. They'll get down to one. But the other six is the problem. And it can be, and it can be, Mishalav, Mamas brachas levatala, you know, big time brachas levatala. You know,
and that's even by the wedding itself, right?
No. By the wedding, by the chuppah, and even by the meal, there's definitely shav brachas. No. It's not by the wedding.
How could it be shav brachas by those two then?
Because that's halacha. The halacha is that even if they were both married. Even the he's 65 and she's 62 and they're both widowed or whatever and getting remarried. The shavu brachas, shavu brachas at the chasen, shavu brachas at the meal. That's fine.
No tahanum for 3 days.
3 days, right? No tahanum for 3 days, right? That's right. Next, okay. Keep your ears open for the second marriages. No tahanum for 3 days. That's correct. Okay. Anyway, I don't think we're gonna get to cold today, but that's okay. So, getting back here. So that's the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish and some others. There is another side to this coin. There is a famous Aruch HaShulchan who says differently. The Aruch HaShulchan in the Siman Siv Zayin says that after he speaks very harshly about the tragic state of affairs that many women in his time, Aruch HaShulchan, you know, was talking about 100 years ago, 150 years ago in Europe, the sad state of affairs that women are not covering the hair when they have to, and he screams about how it's a terrible thing and he has no justification for it, but he said, but however, miyu al kapanim ladina nira shemutal anulispalu levarich negar reshena magulos. But lemaisa, it is what it is, and therefore, it should be, it's mutter. It's mutter to daven or make brachas in front of their uncovered hair. Kivin sha'ata ruban holchus kach, since most women conduct themselves that way now. Havi kimakoma samagul and kugufa. Now become, their hair becomes like their hands, like their face. So he knows he's not learning that it's be'etzim and erva chazal made an erva like the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazanish, and it doesn't make a difference how women comply with the halacha or don't. He's learning that no, it's only din erva because it has to be covered, and it is covered. Once it's not covered, once pretty much across the board, or at least, you know, commonly, it's commonly not covered, so the halacha changes.
How can you say like?
No, because he's learning that they didn't. He's not learning, he doesn't read this chazanish. It's not the chazal asid it. It's more like what was asked before, like Yechilas at the beginning. It's more like a place where it doesn't have to be covered, or at least initially didn't have to be covered, but everybody does cover. So then that's only an error. If people would stop covering him, then it wouldn't be. So he learns that this too. Here in Yechilas, Chazal required it, but they only required covering. They didn't make it an error. They just said you have to cover it. But once you have to cover it, it becomes like they do it even if they were covering it on their own. If everybody's covering it, now it becomes it's treated like an error. Once they stop, then they stop. Right? He's not viewing it. He's not viewing it as as an inherent erva. The Chazal made two dinim. Din number one, you must cover it, or that's minat Torah. Din number two, now that anything that you must cover is an erva. We see in the Chazon Ish, right? They could have made the hair of a basul also an erva, right? But that was the pelis. That was the discretion that they used. Okay, let's just only where it's chayiv, not where it's not. No, even where it's chayiv, they never made an erva.
They still made it like a kind of you can't, they have to cover your hair.
We agreed. He agrees that's deraisa, that's minatara. But that doesn't make it an erva. Only if people are complying with it, then the mele becomes a makom mechusa. It's a covered spot. Why? Because people are Baruch Hashem following the halacha and they're covering it. So now it's a covered place. You can't say brachas. But if they're not following the halacha, then it's not a covered place.
So it doesn't go on what Fabicham made kana. It's all about what people are doing. I mean,
For something that's inherent, not inherently erva, he would agree that doesn't apply to the upper arms and to the shok and to the chest area. He would agree, of course not. That he's not saying.
Why not? Saying
because that's in that chazal. He might even know that story. But even if it's not, that chazal asr, that chazal gave the status of erva. Right, but they didn't do that. He's saying they didn't do that. They didn't do that to the hair. The hair just became an erva because people started covering. Why did people start covering? They started because they had to. Of course they had to. But as long as they comply with the halacha, so memela it converts to an erva. Once they stop complying with the halacha, then
they had to cover it because it was their raisa.
Okay, all right.
So I'm saying,
fine. But if they're not doing it, they're not doing it. He said Chazal. There was no second step. There's no from Chazal. The second step was merely that it became a covered place.
There was the rest of the cover here, and the Chacham came along and said what?
Nothing. They just told us, by the way, since everybody's doing it, so by the way, don't forget, a place that everybody covers is an erva, so everybody's covering the hair. Oh, of course they have to. I don't mean to say they don't have. Of course they have to. But since they're doing it, now treat it like an error.
Okay, so then any other, so then the arms over here, like everyone does it.
No, because that chazal did give a status of erva too. Tefach begu isha, they did give a status of erva too.
So
I'm just talking about the hair that they didn't. Okay. So we'll leave this here. We'll come back to discuss next week. What's maybe some more things about this.
I didn't ask about having hair under the football.
So that's.